Hi, this is Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure, and he's Mark Potash. Welcome to Hallis Intrigue, the Chicago Bears podcast, where, guys, on this episode, we are going to make our predictions for the Bears-Giants game. We're going to talk about what the heck the Bears can do about Justin Fields and his lack of passing, outside of letting him pass more, and also what signs the defense has shown that they might be special. All of that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, Mark, it is week four. The Bears are 2-1. The Giants are 2-1. That is surprising on many, many fronts. We will get to our picks a little bit later in the show. But Jason, we'll start with the obvious here. Justin Fields for 3 weeks in a row has been last among starting quarterbacks in pass attempts. The Bears say that's how they want to win. Long-term, though, I don't think that that is how you win.
Nobody can win like that regularly in the modern NFL. I don't think that that's going to be a successful formula for the Bears. Pat, the biggest question right now is you can see, I think it's pretty reasonable to assess that they are scheming around Justin Fields and not for Justin Fields. But the question is, are they not giving him the chance to show what he can be? Or have they already seen enough and they need to work around it because they do not have any confidence in him?
Potsy, don't you think it would have to be the latter?
If it is the latter, I think that's problematic as far as his development and stuff like that, especially considering that they haven't really given him what he needs to do to be successful personnel-wise. Right. If you do it also scheme-wise, then that's an even bigger problem. That was the thing that I think I noticed most about today. We're talking on Thursday when we talked to Luke Getsy, is just that disparity between their perspective and ours, and the idea that we think there's a problem here, and we've seen quarterbacks come and go. We know it's not like we don't know what we're talking about from an observational standpoint, and yet he's still in this big picture developmental phase with the quarterback Fields, and it just, I don't know, the two just don't sync up. I hate to say it, we're back where we've been many times before with quarterbacks, and I'm not saying this isn't going to work out, but you just keep seeing so many similarities that it's, if you've been around for a while, it's a little bit disconcerting.
But if Luke Getsy's 2-1, do you think that's what he, when he stays up, when he lays in bed at night, is being 2-1 override all the other concerns?
I think that's what this season is all about, and that's where there's a problem, is that the Bears, how many times the Bears thought they were in great shape because they had a good record when they weren't developing the quarterback? Again, we've seen this happen so many times. I guess I disagreed with the whole idea that they're just trying to win games. They're just trying to do what they need to do to win. And I think that this season is all about just the opposite. It's about developing the quarterback and the quarterback getting better. So we'll see who's right. In my history, 5 times I've been right, and no times have the Bears been right. So I'm kind of leaning with me at this point.
When you say you disagree, you mean you disagree with their philosophical approach?
Yeah, I disagree with second and six. A run on second and six means you're just trying. That's your best way to get the first down. I think that was the play he was referring
third
to.
And third and
third
six.
Third, third and six. Yeah.
Third and six in the game.
He's claiming that a third and six run is his best chance to get a first. I'm saying that's a major red flag.
It may be true that that's his best way to get a first down, but that doesn't matter.
But he shows no urgency. That was my question. Is he, and I like Getsy, I think he's good. I think he's going to be a head coach in the league someday. I don't know how good, but I think he will be because I think he's good. But my question, is he disdainful of the idea that we are so skeptical or dismissive? I'm not sure he is.
He's three games into the job and we're already all over him, so he doesn't like it from that perspective. But I would say that it's very warranted that we're all over him, Pat.
Sure.
I mean, they have thrown, the stat that I saw this week was that they have completed the fewest passes through the first 3 games of a season since the Patriots in 1982.
Right.
Like, this is alarmingly bad. Justin Fields is last in everything.
Right. And
he is not only is he not getting a lot of opportunities, but he's not doing a lot with them. Completion percentage around 50%. Interception percentage, I think, is like 9%. Most guys, like, that are kind of not very good are around 4. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of red flags here, and we've sat through decades of red flags. So I think this is warranted, but Luke Getsy, he's a little new to this, so he might not be ready to be under fire as offensive coordinator of the Bears 3 games into a season.
Yeah, especially for winning more games than he's lost. 1982 in the NFL in terms of an offensive conversation is like 1902.
Right.
In real life. It is eons ago.
That's back when like an 83 passer rating was good.
Well, and that sort of football evolution in terms of throwing the ball forward never made it to Chicago. I mean, we're Mark Trestman had it here for a year, but you know, so much has happened since 1982. I think that number speaks for itself, but I think you really have to know football to appreciate how long ago that is.
And I would argue that those numbers indicate, to me, I look at those numbers, that's not the way you develop a quarterback. I don't care who you are. I would go look back at some of these guys like Josh Allen, who had similar accuracy issues his first 2 years, footwork, say the very same thing. It's footwork, accuracy, this and that. But he didn't develop 9 passes at a time or 11 passes at a time. A few years ago, 4 years ago, the Trubisky thing was just the opposite. We got to dial it. But at this time, I looked it up. Matt Nagy was saying we got to kind of maybe not put so much on his plate. Now we're saying almost the opposite. Put more on his plate.
Right.
So they can never seem to find the happy medium. But I guess my point is that I don't think, no matter how much Getsy believes in it, I would argue in the history of the NFL, that's not the way you develop a quarterback. Not that he can't do it. I'm just saying that's out of the ordinary.
It can't be good for him.
Yeah, it can't be good for him. And Jason, you caught this today, and I saw it in the moment too. At what point Luke Getsy during his press conference says, and Fields, he's basically a rookie. I mean, Fields has started, what are we at now, 13 games?
He's played 15 games.
Yeah, and he's started 13. So I guess technically, legally, he's correct. But could that have been a window into the way they view their second-year quarterback?
Yes, and technically, legally, he's not correct because he played for the whole season. I mean, Justin Fields was here for the season. He's gone through multiple off-season OTAs, mini camps, all this.
But our whole beef with the way they handled him last year was, no, he didn't. Was he wasn't getting starter snaps, in training camp. He didn't start until somebody got hurt. And then it was like pulling teeth to get them to commit to him. He was here all last year, but he wasn't.
Right, but we're through the whole, like, oh, man, the NFL, and, oh, it's Ndamukong Suh coming at me, and Aaron Donald, and, like, we're through that. And now what I'm looking at time-wise, Pat, is not so much that he's only so far into his career, but that they've been working on this offense with him for, what, 6 months, 8 months, something like that?
Yeah.
Like, we are well into this. We're not 3 weeks into this. We are months and months and months into this.
My take on that, that statement was that there was a lot more unlearning that Justin Fields had to do from the previous staff. I think it wasn't just building on what he learned from last year. It was to me, that's a statement that says we not only had we had to kind of like tear him down before we could build him back up.
Well, they started with his footwork.
So that's why that they're at a lower part of the process than you would normally think with a quarterback who's already been in the league for a year.
Right, and Jason, you mentioned it. They told us this during OTAs: changing footwork, changing timing, changing, which foot was forward when he took a shotgun pass. Those are things you do, or a shotgun snap. Those are things you do with a rookie. And in that regard, maybe that's a valid declaration of where he is.
I don't think they have time for that, Pat. I don't think they have time to treat him like a rookie right now, because if he's bad this year and they end up bad, I know they're 2-1, but if they end up 5-12, they're going to have a really high draft pick. And that's the time to make the move. So you cannot be treating him like a rookie right now. He even acknowledged after the Green Bay game, Justin Fields did, that the reality that this probably isn't what's best for him developmentally. He said, but that's what I got to do. I got to run the plays they call.
Sure. And, the Bears will fall all over themselves telling you that, well, some of these really good run plays, Justin checked into them and, give him some credit for that. But, we live in a world where he's got to complete passes for us to consider him good at completing passes, right?
It's just a confusing disconnect to me, and Mark brought this up in a way earlier, that all of the personnel moves going into this season screamed rebuild.
Right.
They all screamed 2023. We're not going to start cutting into our 2023 cap space. We are looking to add draft picks. We are looking to build a team that starts rolling in 2023. And now the coaching staff is playing, let's nip and tuck and run as much as possible to try to squeeze out some 13-12 wins at the expense of potentially getting this quarterback ready to be a real quarterback in 2023.
But they also might have a different big picture view than kind of we see it, or we see them as having it, in that, yeah, they can treat him like a rookie this year. If they don't have the same urgency that, like, you might have as far as making a decision on fields, maybe this is a two-year project for them. I'm not saying it'll be like it, but if they're looking at it as this as a two-year project, in 2023, wherever he is, we'll get him his weapons, or we'll get him his support. Then in that respect, they can treat him like a rookie because they're on a different time frame than we see them as, or we might.
Yeah, and I get back to this, though. If they're drafting in the top five and Ryan Poles has a chance to get his quarterback or to make his imprint, like, Justin Fields needs to give him active reasons not to. And maybe their timeline is long, but, you know, that draft choice right in the middle of the timeline could change everything.
If you have a top five pick, it's well put, Pat. If you have a top five pick in the draft, Justin Fields' goal is to make them look for their Ja'Marr Chase instead of their Joe Burrow, and that's going to be an interesting thing, because that's what we said with the Trubisky pick. You only get that top three pick every so often. The Bears get it maybe a little more, but they have. But in general, that was the rationale for that's why you take a quarterback, because, you know, theoretically you're only going to be there once. Once in a while. So there will be, I guess that's an interesting, that'll be, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Of course, it's week four, but that'll be an interesting situation when they, you know, can is Fields good enough for them to look for support for him instead of another quarterback?
Before we get to our Giants picks, I want to talk briefly about the Bears defense. I think it's easy to forget about them sometimes, particularly when the offense is such a mess. But, you know, Potsy, you wrote about this in the Sun Times. The Bears have yet to give up a touchdown in the second half. That's a good sign, among a couple other ones that we've seen, that leads me to think that they can hang around. I mean, the offense needs to be above prehistoric, but the defense can hang around.
You know, we go back. It's the same thing again. At the beginning, this looked like I think Jason was referring to it, an entire rebuild. And I think the best thing about it, I said, was you don't have a defense that's ready to win the Super Bowl and a quarterback who's just learning, like they had in 2018. You have both sides of the ball were on equal ground. And now we're seeing this thing develop where you see the stages. Like, the first week, he's going to get better. The second week, he's got to get better. The third week, it's his footwork. Yeah. The fourth week, it's, well, there's a big disparity. Is your defense causing a fracture with the team because it's so good, so much better that, you know, the next thing you know, you're going to be, pretty soon we're going to be asking, does Trevor Siemian give this team a better chance to win? You know, that's stage seven of something we've seen many, many times. And it's just, it's, like I said, disconcerting to see this thing develop like that.
Pat, this is like he's reciting, like, Bears poetry.
Right.
Like, these are all the old Bears fairy tales.
There we
that
go.
Everyone's heard.
I guess my point was, I keep seeing the same cycle. I see evidence of the same cycle, and I want to believe this is going to be different. This is going to be different. And you look like a curmudgeon, the jaded reporter, or whatever. When you kind of suggest things might not be going
negative
the right
Nelly.
Way,
but what the Matt Nagy called
negative Nelly.
Yeah,
but you're
always right.
But so far, eight for eight. So,
Jason, Saquon Barkley is the Giants' best player. The Bears talked a lot about him on Thursday, including. Defensive coordinator Alan Williams, who wanted to use the phrase, what was it, Thickian, which is...
Is that a noun?
Yeah, it's what he called...
he's a Thickian.
It's what he called A.J. Dillon because he has really big thighs.
Thick thighs.
And
yeah. That's the title of this episode.
Saquon Barkley's when healthy, he's the best player on either side of the field, right?
Yeah, and they got... the Bears got run on pretty well against Green Bay. Right. I mean, that is definitely a concern for them.
If we talk to Roquan today, that's how I'll present it. Saquon Barkley is the best player on the field, huh?
Am I right?
No, I got a feeling. No, he's the first person I thought of who would disagree with that.
Thickest thighs on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Potsy, tell me about Roquan. You posited today that maybe the game against the Texans could be the, I don't want to say turning point, but at least an instance in which he goes from being a little underwhelming to...
Yeah. Is it a launching pad,
yeah.
For him? And I think he suggested that. I think the Bears think so. And it makes sense that after not being in training camp or missing all the entire preseason, basically, just not really doing a whole lot. And I guess he kind of referred to that he actually had some kind of injury. Didn't say what it was. But anyway, after the slow start, you know, he still put up numbers. I think he had double-digit tackles in the first two games. But you could just, by the eye test, could see it wasn't the same guy.
Couldn't feel it.
This was not a guy that you're going to give a $100 million contract to. On Sunday, it was different. Even the plays, take out his three best plays, the two TFLs and the interception, he was still an impact player, making big plays on third downs and getting them off the field or forcing a field goal, things like that. Much different. And I guess so. He seemed to think that, okay, now I'm ready to go, and it all makes sense that, you know, he's not a guy you're hoping will be good. You know he's good. So it'll be interesting to see this game. Especially against a guy like Saquon Barkley, you know, can he step up and play at that level again? I would think so. He's that good. And as he gets into this defense more, I think he should be even more productive, more effective.
Yeah, you'd hope so. And, you know, and this was him after missing a full week with an injury, too.
Right, yeah.
Which is noteworthy. Speaking of injuries, Jalen Johnson, as we sit here today, still out with one. The Bears may say that they were thrilled with how their defensive backfield responded, but two of the three guys there, I think, gave up a passer rating of over 100. It wasn't pretty. But, you know, the good news if you're a Bears fan is that I don't think you're too worried about Daniel Jones and a cast of receivers that doesn't include Sterling Shepard doing anything to you.
What a fun game, Pat. What an exciting game. A bunch of receivers that can't do much against a bunch of corners that may or may not be able to handle them. Like, wow.
It's the
get ready for Bears Giants, everybody.
It's the resistible force against the movable mm-hmm. object.
Get ready for we just had a game that was 11-10 on Sunday Night Football, didn't we? Maybe this one will be like 10-9 or 12-11.
I'm going to transition effortlessly from that, Jason, into our picks and our score predictions. It is a clean split among the six Sun-Times.
Who has the most exciting game?
What do you mean?
Well, who's picking like this to actually be interesting?
Well, what excites you? Touchdowns or like...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Simple yes.
Rick Tellender, 27-22.
Ooh, barn burner.
Yeah. And the least exciting, if you're curious, me, 15-12.
15-12, okay.
We're split in half. Potsy, you and the two Ricks have the New York Football Giants. Your score is 17-16. Explain yourself.
Ugh.
Well, I have to say, you know, you always hate when you hedge on these things, but I kind of got...
That's all you ever
that's
do.
That's all you ever
but
do.
That's all I do. I got boxed in.
They don't let you do that in Vegas, man.
Yeah, I know. I go to the window and say, hey, I kind of really wanted to bet the Bears. You know? Can you pay this off? No, I kind of got boxed in because when I... And I never know how to handle this because when I do first and 10, one of the last item is always the barometer, which is the season as I see it progressing. And I had this as a loss. But I have to say, you know, things change, and sometimes, during the week, I guess there were no really significant injuries. But I guess what I'm saying is, it wouldn't surprise me if the Bears win. This would not be one, you know, this could end up being in one of their more winnable games, right? Sure. I mean, this is so anyway. I picked 17-16 because for no real reason other than the Bears. If they whenever you think they're going to win, they lose. And often it happens at the Meadowlands.
And Jason, you and I both have the Chicago Bears, believe it or not, by fairly equal scores. What are you, 16-13, and I'm 15-12?
Yeah, it'll be an ugly game. Probably a lot of field goals. Be interesting to see how windy it is there, because that's probably going to be a big factor. But the Bears should feel pretty good about where Cairo Santos is right now. And if you needed him to kick a bunch, I expect Cairo Santos to make it pretty much every time he steps up.
Is this going to be one of those games where, even if they can find a way to win to go 3-1, we're a lot more concerned with style points and how they look doing it?
Yeah, but this is the thing, and I think Mark kind of alluded to this earlier. Like, Matt Nagy had a 5-1 start. Matt Nagy had, in these last 3 years, I believe, Matt Nagy had a pretty good start to every season. Matt Nagy and Trubisky or Dalton or whoever was the quarterback, I think it was like 3-1, 5-1, 3-2, things like that. What style points means when we say that, any of us, we're not dumping on them for winning a game.
Right.
We're trying to look at where this is headed.
Right.
We're trying to tell you, is this real? Is this the start of a trajectory that's going to take you anywhere? And that's why 2-1 right now doesn't feel real promising with the Bears.
Well, I don't think 2-1 feels like 2-1. I mean, the locker room the other night was not particularly ebullient, was it, Potsy?
No, I think it was, I think they know what, I think they know. Well, they know it's early, so I mean, you're not going to, you know, they're conditioned to not get ahead of themselves anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of these teams almost certainly is going to be 3-1, and not a real convincing 3-1, because this is going to be one of those games where, you know, it's like the last game where you say, well, nothing against them, but, you know, these are two not very good teams. You can tell
that. The Bears beat the 49ers with Trey Lance in the rain, and they beat the
Texans.
And I
feel like this game is going to be on both sides, you know.
Have we stopped to consider a tie?
Well, I was trying to consider. That's why you can't say that it certainly will be. And I thought we were going to have a tie last week. It just looked like but again, that's kind of because the way you see these two teams seem like they deserve each other. And it's interesting, you know, the Giants have a new coach in Brian Daboll, who could have been the Bears coach, and it'll be, in a way, you could kind of present this as a little bit of a litmus test of where each team is based on that. And
a GM in Joe Shane, who
he could have been here as well, right? I mean, it could be a test of that as well. But I guess I'm not going in thinking I'm going to see a breakthrough for either team, frankly, because I think their defense is going to keep them in a lot of games. I can't see them getting blown out, but I just think they're going to be in a lot of games.
Jason, we got about 2 minutes before we get out, but feel obligated to say this name because we haven't said it yet. Khalil Herbert.
Oh, yeah, him. Khalil Herbert has been very good for them every time he's gotten a chance. He was really good for them, Pat, last season as a rookie. David Montgomery had a knee injury early in the year, and I think we went 4 games where Khalil Herbert was the running back for the Bears and was like around 90 yards a game, around 4.5 yards per carry, very, very productive, and then just disappeared after that. Once David Montgomery came back, there was no more splitting carries. In fact, the percentage of running back carries for Khalil Herbert actually went down after David Montgomery came back.
Compared to before he got hurt.
Yes. Right. Khalil Herbert did not earn more of a share of the carries among the running backs with his good 4 weeks. It's a little different here, where I think they went into the season wanting to use both guys. If David Montgomery is out Sunday and out for a while, they haven't put him on IR, so there's a chance maybe he's back soon, or maybe IR is coming on Saturday.
I don't think it's going to be Sunday.
Probably not.
Right.
But for whatever amount of time he's out, this isn't the kind of loss that it would be at a lot of other positions where you don't have another guy. They always say next man up. The next man up's usually not very good.
Right.
That's not the case here. These were two guys that they were kind of planning on going with and planning on maybe not splitting carries evenly, but giving Khalil Herbert a very good, healthy share of the carries.
Yeah, if they could have, in a weird way, if they could afford to lose a starter at any position, running back might have been it.
Even though David Montgomery is probably one of their better players.
Yep, absolutely. So we will see whether Montgomery goes on Sunday. The bet is that he won't, and if so, Khalil Herbert will have another chance to try and top his career day from last week. We will be at the MetLife Stadium press box, which is just luxuriously big, Jason. They built it for a Super Bowl. It's awesome.
They all are compared to Soldier Field.
Maybe 20 times the square footage of Soldier Field, maybe 30 times. Anyway, we will be back at you on Sunday night from the press box to analyze what went down. In the interim, please read Jason, Mark, and myself. Follow us on Twitter. Pick up a Sun-Times if you live in town, and if not, go check out the Sun-Times website. And if you do listen to this in Apple, please like, rate, and review the podcast. He is Jason Leisure. He's Mark Potash. I'm Patrick Finley. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back again real soon.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.